Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Have you ever wondered what God's will is or was or is going to be for your life? Do you know that there is a distinct will of God for your life and that God has a purpose for you? That you weren't made a mistake? That God has designed specific strategies for you to fulfill while you're on the earth according to your skills? That there is a will of God for your life? Now, many of us think that the good life is only found back here before Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit and before death walked into the world through the fall. That's not true. God has made a way where there seems to be no way for a joyful, fulfilled life. Somebody say amen. I want you to realize that Matthew chapter 6 verse 10, and you're going to need to take notes today, because I'm going to lay a foundation. I can actually talk for weeks, and we're going to unpack these simple little words. Matthew 6 and 10. For thy kingdom come, thy will be done. There's so much there that it is going to absolutely unpack your life full of joy like you've never had it before. How many of you could use some more joy? Can I see your hands or wave them at me? Need more joy? Me too. I want you to understand something, though. The Bible does not begin with accept Christ as your Savior. What did you just say? I said the Bible does not begin with accept Christ as your Savior. The Bible begins with in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Which is the Bible's way of saying this. That God is the sole source of life. And the one that finds the kind of life God gives finds joy, finds contentment, finds peace and happiness. You find it in the tree of life. But if you find life as a source from any other thing, like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will be one miserable human being the rest of your life. I want you to hear me. If you're going to understand life and to have it more abundantly, you must have a Christian worldview. You must understand what the directions say about your life and about where you're going. You must understand three things. Write them down. Creation, number two, the fall, and number three, redemption. So the story is about three things. Creation, the fall, and redemption. That is to say that all of life, the source of all of life, is a healthy walk with God. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Now, I want you to hear me and hear me well. What is the will of God? There are actually two wills of God. So say, how can I obey two when I'm barely obeying one? Number one, you have what's called the sovereign will of God. God has a sovereign will. Ecclesiastes 3 says there's a time for birth, there's a time for death. There's a time for sorrow, there's a time for joy. There's a moment designed in your life for everything you're going to go through. But the Bible says there's a sovereign will of God, and that means that God does what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, no matter what anyone else has to say about it. God is sovereign. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Say amen like you're awake. Amen. And I know you are. Number two, and this is what I want to talk about. There's God's will of command. What does God say to us about his will? How many of you want to be in the will of God? Say amen. I want to be in the will of God. How many of you would like to get to heaven and hear, well done? All right. Let me show you how. There's some things I need to tell you about God's will as a command. Number one, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 3 says God's will is our sanctification. Sanctification is a fancy word that means set apart. You're actually looking at sanctification in the Garden of Eden. It means that you are set apart, sanctified. You no longer find your pleasures and you no longer find your own power and your own control over the tree of life of good and evil. But you have chosen to sanctify, to separate yourself from this life. Ladies and gentlemen, this life will lead you to misery. This life will even do worse than that. It'll lead you to religion, to where you have to measure up and you're only accepted by God based on your performance. That tree right there will ruin your life. That tree will sap your joy. That tree right there, that kind of life will absolutely destroy you. And many of us know that because we've lived our life on that side of the tree for a long time. But I'm telling you, this tree will set you free. This tree is full of joy. This tree is full of power. This tree is full of a life that is content and happy. If you'd like to be happy, give God a hand clap of praise if you don't mind. So the will of God is to be sanctified, to be separate so that we would love Him and only Him and Him alone. But 1 Peter 2:15 says God's will is related to our conduct. That the will of God is related to how we treat our employees. The will of God is related to how we act in Walmart when somebody gets in front of us. The will of God is related to driving on I-40, US 41 to Providence in front of a tractor and you're wanting to blow it up because you can't move any faster. The will of God is related to our conduct of when we take pies and cakes and bless the Weaver family. The will of God is rooted in doing good things like buying Christmas for people dying of HIV or AIDS. The will of God is being good and having a good conduct. Why? Because God's been good to us and then He expects us to be good to other people. Now, I want you to understand Hebrews 13, 15 through 16 says that God's will is our good deeds, for us to do good deeds. But Romans 12, 1 through 2 says God's will is your spiritual worship and then uses these words. It says, which is your reasonable service? Good to see my mom and dad here today. I didn't notice you. Good to see you back in church. But God's will is for you to be spiritually worshiping. In other words, if you're going to fulfill the will of God, the first place that you fulfill the will of God is to lift your hands during worship, not try to sell a car while worship's going on. Do you understand me? Not that our car salesmen try to do that, but I'm just saying. If you want to know the will of God for your life, you've got to understand it begins with spiritual worship. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. This is your reasonable service. In other words, the very baby steps of the will of God is to lift your hands up. Won't you lift your hands up right now? And why don't you give Him praise? Won't you open your mouth and say, God, you're a good God. Just say that. God, you're a good God. Why don't you say, God, you're a powerful God? Lift your hands up and say, God, you're a powerful God. Listen, when you begin to proclaim God's goodness through worship, you are in the will of God, which is the foundation to the will of God. Everybody give God a hand clap of praise in this place. Amen. Now, I want you also to understand that the will of God is not passive. You can't sit there and be in the will of God and not do anything. It is active. The will of God is not passive. And so when you understand the will of God, Psalms 143 verse 10 says, teach me your will, O Lord, for you are my God. How many of you, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, how many of you this morning, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is your God? That's your God. Lift your hands. All right? If that's your God, our God says, and there is no God but our God. Somebody say amen. There is no God higher than our God. Hear, O Israel, the Shema. There is only one God, Israel, and He is three people existing in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. There is no other God but Him. But it says you got to be taught the will of God. But John chapter 4 verse 34 says something interesting when it quotes Jesus. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of God. Now, if you want to be healthy, this is the way to health. If you want to be sick in your soul, this is the way to be sick in your soul. The Bible says that Jesus said, the will of God is my food. Now, if Jesus had to obey and seek the will of God, how much more should His disciples seek the will of God? Matthew chapter 6, verse 10 said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. If you want God's will to be done, why don't you put your hands in the air and wave them as a wave offering before the throne of God this morning? He wants the will of God to be done in your life. The Bible says, in essence, that the will of God is relevant for all of life. Ladies and gentlemen, when Adam and Eve ate from the forbidden fruit, the word life, which is the Greek word zoe, many of you name your children zoe. That word is a divinity word, which means the only kind of life that God can give. But what's interesting, after they ate the forbidden fruit, and we all know it was a beet, say amen, that you never saw the word life ever again for 39 books. You can go to Jeremiah and not find it. You can go to Haggai and not find it. You can go to Hosea and not find it. You can go to the Pentateuch and not find it. You can't find it in Leviticus. You can't find it in Deuteronomy. You can't find it in Malachi. You can't find it in Obadiah. You can't find it anywhere in the Old Testament. Do you know the only time that word ever showed up again after the Garden of Eden was in John chapter 10 verse 10 and John chapter 10 verse 11, where Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." How many of you want the kind of life that God gives? This is the will of God. How many of you want the kind of life that God gives? This is the will of God. How many of you really want the kind of life that God gives? This is the will of God. Now, I want to explain something to you. You must understand three things to find the foundation of the will of God for your life. You must understand that the Bible says that the will of God is your spiritual worship and it works through your mind. Romans 12, 1 through 2. Through the renewing of your mind, the metamorphosis. There's a creation, there's a fall, and there's redemption. Let's look at creation. And I want you to notice how many of the things that are back here, like work, are here, like work. Except over here, work, the Bible says, and it uses the Hebrew word for giving birth to a child, that labor will become laborious. Over here, there is sex. Over here, there is sex. Here, there is sexuality with male and female. Over here, there is sexuality with male and female, and there are differences. You are beginning to see where God is beginning to form the life of God, which is the will of God. Now write the word creation down and take these notes. If you will go front or back of the trees, you will find environments. You will see where God spent 5 days on the environment before he put a man in it. What's your environment like at the house? What's it like at work? Do you cuss all the time? What's it like? Do you and your wife fight all the time? We got help coming for you. The next sermon series about the kingdom of God in marriage. What kind of environment? Are you around a lot of people who gossip? Are you around negative people? Are you around people who say it's probably a tumor? Are you around people that don't know how to be positive and speak out faith? What's your environment like? There's a true story that I've told before, but a pastor I used to work for had this woman in the church, and she was the most negative woman that the church had ever had. In 100 years, old church. Negative, 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 negative. They used to call her Negative Nanny. And all of a sudden, the pastor thought, well, I'm going to outsmart her this Sunday. And so he walks up to her and says, "Sister Nanny, you look wonderful. Did you get your hair done this week? Are you losing weight, Sister Nanny? I mean, you are incredible. I mean, that's a beautiful dress. Is that a new dress? Sister Nanny, I've never seen you smile the way you're smiling this Sunday morning. Sister Nanny, you got a gleam in your eye that I have never seen a gleam in your eye like the one I'm watching this Sunday morning." And Sister Nanny looked at that pastor and said, "Well, Pastor, not everything's the way it looks." What kind of environment are you in? And God, what kind of environment are you building in your family? It matters the kind of environment you're in. Do you understand that God says in Genesis 1 and 26 that you're created in the image of God? And I don't want you to call me heretical until I'm done. But God doesn't call you to be like Jesus. I know it's the hymn, and I understand the heart behind the hymn. Did you just say what I think you said? Yes, I did. If you want to be frustrated in your life, you try to be like something you'll never be like. Because you're in legalism now. You want to be like Jesus? You want to be perfect, never sin, never blow it, never be complete, holy in all ways? I mean, God himself said, your ways are not my ways. So why would God tell you, your ways are not my way, and there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end leads to destruction, and then turn around and tell you to be like Jesus? God never told you to be like Jesus. God told you to be a reflection of Jesus. And that's the actual Hebrew. I want you to reflect me at work in the marketplace. I want you to reflect me in your families and how you build them. You listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. If the Lord were to tarry, and I don't think he's going to, but if the Lord were to tarry another 50 years, the greatest revival this world has ever seen will come because of one reason. It's because the Christian community goes back and rereads the instructions of the Word of God and begins to build families where boys are boys and girls are girls and mom and dad marry to build incredible families. And the end result are incredible communities where the ethics and the character of God spread forth the kingdom of God. We could take over the world through procreation in holy ways. We could take over the world by building families in a world where boys are told you may be a girl. We'll wait till you're four. Listen, this world is under a demonic attack. If you believe that, say amen. It's under a demon. It's a demon. And I got more degrees than a thermometer. But you have to understand, this is demonic. It's a demonic thing that's coming against our country and our nation and our children. If I told you how many young Pentecostal families I've dealt with in the last year whose boys came out and said, I'm a girl, it would freak you out. In Madisonville. But you know what we ought need to do? If we begin to raise up masculine men, what does it mean to be masculine? It means to take responsibility. If we begin to raise up masculine men and feminine women and they would marry and they were whole and were on this side of the tree and then they gave birth to children, we wouldn't have the first murder out of legalism. We would build such incredible communities that the light would shine and we wouldn't even have to open our mouth. They would look at the children of God and see our families and the cities we built and know that there's a difference when you serve Christ. If you believe that, give God a hand clap of praise. I got to go. Genesis 1:26 says we are to rule, which means we're to dominate, which we are to reign. It means actually in the Hebrew to scrape something out. Humans are to reign. Now, please don't get mad at me. Don't send me any letters. I love animals. I got a dog that's half crazy. I love that dog. His name is Leo. But there's something wrong in our culture when we love a dog more than we love our neighbor. There is something wrong when animals dominate our lives. It's a demonic spirit. Now, I'm not saying it's a demonic spirit to have a dog, but when PETA wants to put up a tombstone because 50 lobsters flopped out in Maine, true story, wanted to put up a tombstone in honor of the 50 lobsters who have died, we've lost our lobster ever in living mind. That lobster is here for me to rule over, which means bring me some butter and some crab legs and let me get to the will of God. Fido is not called to poop in my roses and dig up my trenches. Fido is submissive to me. The whales are submissive to me, but we're living in a world that said, screw the baby, save the whale. And the children of God ought to have better sense and to understand where we are and what we came from and what is the will of God for our life. We are not to be ruled by the animals. We are to rule over the animals with care and love. Somebody say amen. Somebody shout cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. In Genesis 1:28, it's really interesting because you know what God says after the fall? The Bible says he blessed them. We all need the blessings of our Father. And then he said something to him. He said, you be fruitful. He said, you fill the earth, and then you subdue it. We're going to talk about that later. And then I want you to notice that even before the fall and after the fall, he wants to walk with man. Genesis 3:8, he wants to walk with us in the cool of the day. You cannot have a relationship with God unless there's a two-way communication going on. He doesn't want your tithe. He doesn't need it. He wants you to do it out of love. He wants you to tithe out of love. He wants you to worship out of love. He doesn't need you to lift your hands so you can feed his ego. He wants you to lift your hands because he set you free from methamphetamine 20 years ago. He doesn't need you to dress a certain way. You are created in the image of God, and therefore you are to reflect his divinity and his glory, and to let the glory of the Lord fill the earth. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost up here right now. Make a Mormon run. He wants you to walk with organic intimacy. Listen, if you go to church and you don't love him, you're full of legalism. If you go to church and you tithe and you give more money than anybody in the church, but you don't do it out of love, you're in legalism. If you go to church and you don't know how to break an alabaster box over his feet during worship and worship him with your best gift, you're in legalism. But let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. Let the high-sounding cymbal praise the Lord. Let the trumpet praise the Lord. Let the black praise the Lord. Let the white man praise the Lord. Let the Hispanic man praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. He wants you to walk with him. That's all he asks. What's the price of getting you out of hell? What's the price of saving you from your own self and your own desire to be in control and have power? What kind of price? You put the fruit back? No, you can't do that. Can you take back your act of disobedience? Oh, I wish I could. What's the price to the tree of life? John 15:1-17. I am the vine, you are the branch. He that abideth in me, he that abideth in me beareth much fruit, but apart from me you can do nothing. This Christian walk with God is not meant to be denominationally driven. This Christian walk with God is not meant to be made hard and difficult. This Christian walk with God should be joy unspeakable and full of glory, the half that has never yet been told. This Christian walk with God must be intimate. You must have an intimate walk with God. You must have an intimate relationship with God. You must be what our enemies called us. Christian. Little Jesus. Little Jesus. Oh, I feel the anointing of God. Now, I want you to hear me because I'm going somewhere. There was a walk with God before and after the tree. There was communication. God said, where are you? That's why intercession is so important. Pagah. Pagah means you hit the mark. Pagah, which is the Hebrew word for intercede. Intercession means that God heard you. How many want God to hear you when you pray? You've got to stop praying and start interceding. There is a gift of intercession, I believe that. But I believe that it's just like faith. Everybody has a measure of faith. You have the ability to intercede. Prayer is when you do all the talking. Intercession is when God speaks back to you. Now, if you're not careful, in a DSM-5, in a psychiatric association book, they'll call that schizophrenia when God talks back at you, and call it prayer when you talk to God. But I'm here to tell you, you don't serve a dead God made by hands. You do not serve a God that's asleep. You do not serve a God that cannot hear you when you pray. The Bible said through the brother of Jesus that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm here to tell you that prayer changes things. I'm here to tell you that prayer is nothing more than organic intimacy with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm here to tell you to open your mouth, square your shoulders back, repent of your sins, and ask a good God who you being evil know how to give good gifts to your kids. How does God, who is holy, not know how to give good gifts to his kids? There's got to be a relationship. Somebody shout relationship with me real quick. Now, I want you to understand, he gave us communication, he gave us seed, Genesis 1:29, and he gave us provision through those seeds. He showed his care, he told us rest, and we're going to go deep on all these things later, Sabbath. He gave us even boundaries in Genesis 2:9. Don't touch this, touch that. Got it? Legalism says, don't touch this, don't cut your hair, don't watch TV, don't see this movie, don't put up makeup. I was with Leonard Sweet this week. He's a very famous author, and he's a friend of mine now. And he told me a story Monday at the Orlando airport. This guy wrote a book called Tsunami. It's one of his most famous ones. He's very famous in Christianity. And he said his mother was a Pilgrim Holiness evangelist growing up in West Virginia. And he told me something I thought was very interesting. He said, when my mom got married in the Pilgrim Holiness Church in West Virginia, because the photographer put a little rouge on her cheeks for the wedding picture, they kicked her out and took her license. Listen, this kind of stuff will ruin your relationship. When you got a performance measurement to be accepted by God, there's a Greek word, you're screwed. It's horrible. It grieves the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to hear me. And then what did he do? He set boundaries. And then Genesis 2:15, he said work. He said work here, and he said work here, except because of the fall, it's now laborious. You know what else he said? He said develop relationships. He said develop individuals. And God, according to Genesis 2:2, honors the difference between masculinity and femininity. He then turns around and he says, and let me tell you about marriage. Marriage chapter 2, verse 24. If you want your marriage to be successful, let me give you three principles we're going to go deep in before Christmas. You must leave, you must cleave, and you must weave. If you do not leave, you do not cleave, and you do not weave, you will never have a successful marriage. If you want to be close with God, you must leave, you must cleave, and you must weave. You must leave this world and you must cleave to God and weave your life into His will by doing the things I'm talking about. Then after marriage, what did he do? He created sex. Now I want to make something plain, and I'm going to talk blunt about this in the coming weeks in a holy way. But sexuality was created in Genesis 4:1. Do you realize that over here Satan perverts sex and you sleep with whoever you want to and you're nothing more than an animal? But sex is over here. Hugh Hefner did not invent sex. Our holy God invented sex. How many of you believe that? I don't care what you do or not, because I know what the Bible says. So if God created sex, then sex must be holy. They tell you on this side, you're pilgrims and you're prunes. They don't say anything about a little kid that I counseled who slept with four boys before she's 15 and sits in the shower and washes and still can't feel clean. But what is sex when you look at it the right way? Sexuality actually wars against evil. What? I said sexuality in the marriage bed between two consenting adults, male and female, actually wars against evil. Why? Because, and God created this, we're on biblical ground right now. Because God knows that when a man and a woman has sex under the balm of marriage, it's a return to innocence. Don't you think God hadn't already thought about how to fix this crap? The problem is we got the fall. The fall says, 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world has blinded their minds. And Ephesians says the end results aren't good. I mean, think about how many times you tried to find your affections over here. And then if that's not bad enough, you've got redemption. And God says, I'm walking into what I created, and then I'm going to walk past the fall, and then I'm going to redeem it. Do Do you realize God saves your soul and your mind? And then Romans 12 and 2 talks about the renewing of your mind. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, behold, all things becometh new. How many of you would like to become a new person? Welcome to the tree of life on the other side of the tree. The Bible says in Ezekiel, he'll turn your hard heart into a soft heart, give you a new heart, and put the Spirit of God in you. How many of you would like a new touch of the Spirit of God? Let me see your hands. It's what the Bible promises us. So it's really about resuming the task. Now let me set you up for next week. Here's the problem, precious people. When we eat from the knowledge of good and evil and live our life not completely surrendered to God and His will, then control always slips out of our grip. We try to sew the fig leaf on and control the situation. We try to control our daughter and we try to control the things at work. And so we know deep down there should be order somehow. So we try to grasp for control in the midst of chaos. But when you're not living for God, control will always leave your grips. You'll never be able to master control. In the evil, relationships will always disappoint you. Men will come home and find closets empty where women have emptied them out while they were at work. There will be people who say that they're your best friends and they will lie on you and defeat you and destroy you and try to hurt you. Do you realize that when you live your life with your affections on this side, control will slip out of your grip. Relationships will disappoint you. It also means that work will always leave us frustrated. One of the things that work did here was work was fulfilling. Now in a broken world, if you go left, you will find fulfillment through your skills, and God has a purpose for your skills to advance the kingdom of God. If you were to go right, you will always be frustrated at work. You will never know your purpose. You will never know your destiny. You will never know why you're on the earth. You will never know the will of God, because work on this side, when you don't surrender your life fully to God, will leave you frustrated. Pleasure will always be fleeting. Do you understand? I'm talking to a bunch of people who know what I'm talking about. Get the halo off of your head this morning. I know as well as you know that many of you know what it is to be drunk. You know what it is to sleep with people and you can't even remember their middle name, not to mention their last name. You have found out that shooting yourself in the arm didn't do any more good than the last 30 times you tried it. You have stuffed 150 cupcakes down your throat, but yet you still don't feel better. But I'm telling you, when you find your pleasure in the house of God, in the tree of life, in an intimate relationship organically through communication with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you will find life and find it more abundantly. Pleasure's fleeting. Go ahead and come up, Bam, but don't play. Wisdom is never adequate. And I got to tell you this, I'm a little behind this morning because of the different video, but wisdom is fleeting. I made a joke about my own education. I love education. I love learning. I can't get enough of it. But one thing I've learned is that it's fleeting. You will never be as smart as God. And no matter how smart you are, you're going to go through life and see things you don't understand. Case in point, I'm writing a book for this church that'll be out in October called Lethal Faith and then For the Nation. And I got to the place where it talked about the book of Genesis and the archaeological evidence. And I found out that the Assyrians and the Egyptians and the Persians and the Babylonian kingdom had stories about a man on a boat who saved his family. I found out that the Egyptians have a story about a God who spoke the world into existence. That the Assyrians actually have an inscription that says there was a day when women gave birth with no pain. Right underneath the words, and all men spoke one language. I got troubled because it was written 800 years before Moses wrote the Pentateuch. We're in trouble here. And I had to dig and I had to study and I found the answer and I found out there isn't really those similarities. Because I started with the principle that that is God's word laying on that holy table up there, and that we start with the fact that it's the truth and everything else will line up with the truth. Yes, and you'll see the answer in that book, but there are answers for that. Wisdom can be fleeting. You see, spirituality usually gives way to legalism. You want to serve God And then you start giving performance matrix. Well, I lifted my hand for 30 minutes and I prayed for 45 minutes. I must be good with God. But then you fall and you come short of the glory of God and you feel like you're not even saved anymore. That's a bunch of garbage. This side of the tree, life ends in decay and death. There is no life. I stood by a person who lost their loved one over the last couple of years and waited for life to pass away. It's just like the book of Solomon says, it's a breath, it's here, and then it's gone, just like a breath. And a man looked at me and said, she's dead, she'll turn to dirt, and there is no heaven. When it is a lie, but when you live on this side, life ends to decay and death. Now listen, guys, our church has turned into an extremely healthy-oriented church. Old Russell won the race last night for his age group. Somebody say amen. A lot of you run. Many of you are in CrossFit. But do me a favor. Don't be CrossFit and then unfit for the cross. So what's the answer? The tree of life. Where control leads to surrender, Abraham. After you've tried to fix it, Adam and Eve, why don't you try surrendering your life to God and let the control and the power be in His hand? Relationships lead to trust and love, and they're healthy and whole. Let me tell you, men will let you down, but God will never let you down. Work leads to laboring for the kingdom of God, where you make the kingdom of God a better place because you use your skills in the marketplace for His glory. Pleasure leads to a hunger for the coming of God. Anybody in here have been so hungry for God you couldn't wait to meet Him the next time? Wisdom leads to humility and humble curiosity to know God. To find out, that's what happened to me through that exercise of the Persians and the Babylonians. The humble curiosity led me to greater truths in the Bible. Spirituality leads to embracing God's wild heart. In other words, true spirituality in God's heart will set your heart on fire. Jeremiah said I wasn't ever going to mention His name again, it was like fire shut up in my bones. When they were walking with Jesus, didn't even recognize Him. They looked at Him after He left and said, did not your heart burn within you when He spoke? God wants to give you this incredible walk with Him that lights your heart up. Life leads to your celebration of death and resurrection. And this is where I give God praise. The will of God is not in death and decay. The will of God is that we serve a God that defeated death, hell, and the grave. And the Bible says, absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. And you can look over your loved one and say, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? And know that Jesus said, because I'm the first fruits of the dead, you're next. Somebody say amen. That this isn't all that there is, that God is going to bring us back to where He walks with us in the cool of the day. If you want to understand Genesis and the will of God, understand Revelation, because God's got a plan for your life. You're not wandering around this world as a nomad with no will, no purpose, no destiny. You're not a monkey that came out of the La Brea tar pits because a dinosaur gave birth to through a bird and a feather. No, 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 no. There's a heaven and an earth. There's a God that created the heavens and the earth. And He created you. And He created you not just as a nomadic monkey. He created you in the image of God. And you're to go forth in the earth reflecting His glory, giving God praise by building incredible families, by praying the Holy Spirit down in your house, by loving God and reading the Word of God and teaching children not to lie and hitting a home run at a baseball field and giving God glory and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. This is the will of God.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.